time out on Carol's boat and had a great time. So I know I usually say when I'm on vacation, I don't think about any of you guys. Well, I guess what? I do. And while we were gone, even last week during service, I'm just like, oh, we got to pray for service. And you know what? It doesn't matter whose body is here as long as the Holy Spirit is flowing through them. Amen? Amen. And so we knew that the Holy Spirit was in control, and that was exciting. So anyhow, it's good to be back, and thank you to all who helped out last week. I really appreciate it, and who knows when the rabbi will be gone next. But, you know, it's good to spend time with family and to get refreshed. So anyhow, just kind of moving forward, today's message, I have kind of a loose working title of Walls of Faith and Righteousness. And as you can see by the center of the room here, you're like, oh, what's up with the arts and crafts, rabbi? Well, when we talked about walls, it's just like, walls. You know, what walls are there? And this passage, even though it talks about righteousness and salvation, walls are an integral part to what keeps us from approaching the Torah. And that's something to remember. The things that we put up in our life keep us from the Torah. And so anyhow, looking at this passage in Romans chapter 10, the first thing he starts off with, the Apostle Paul starts here in verse 1, it says, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God on behalf of the Jews is that they would be saved." Well, that's a good heart's desire, right? That people get saved. But what does he say? "But for I can testify on their behalf that they have zeal for God, but..." And remember, the "but" always negates in our language what has preceded it. "But it is not in keeping with full knowledge. For they are ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God. While they try to establish their own, they have not submitted to God's righteousness." And think about that here. Being zealous. Is being a zealot a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it depends what you're zealous about, right? Yeah, what does Galatians 4:18 says? It says, "Now it is always good to be devoted to a good cause, even when I'm not with you." Is salvation from Yeshua HaMashiach a good cause? You betcha. It's good to be zealous for the things of God. But being zealous for what we perceive to be the things of God that are not the things of God, that is where the problem lies, right? And that's where we put a brick in the wall. We're zealous, but we're zealous about the wrong thing. And so, of course, it's good to be zealous about Yeshua. Yes, it's good to be zealous about the Torah, about the Navayim, about the Ketuvim, about the writings and the prophets, about the Brit Hadashah. You bet! You know, when I think of that song that came out of a Christendom out in the 90s, and I love this song. I love to rock out. I love to crank it up. It's a song called "Jesus Freak" from a band called DC Talk. You know, what would people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What would people do when they find out it's true? Right? What will they do? Well, you know what? They're going to do what they always do. The gospel is a stumbling block and an offense. And as soon as we remember that people are going to be offended every time we share the gospel, and that it's, if the gospel's an offense, and we know that every time Yeshua Jesus shared the good news about Himself, that those people didn't believe. Hey, if Jesus went through it, we're going to go through it too, right? But guess what? I've heard testimonies of people who have been offended. In fact, the guy who wrote the Share Jesus Without Fear program that we're going to start next week and then go through for 2 weeks there, he was just a really bad guy. He was in the racket. He was, he had legitimate business and he had horrible business. And every time somebody preached to him or talked to him, he would persecute them. He would just run them over the coals. But guess what? He remembered everybody who persecuted him. Or who told him the truth, and he persecuted them in return. But praise God, God got a hold of his heart, and none of those seeds that were planted were considered null or void. The spirits that were inside him were reacting to the good news, and they were spitting out the venom and hate. So when you share the good news and somebody comes and, you know, hey, Jesus freak, or you're a zealot, or, you know, you messianic, get out of here. Hey, we're planting seeds, we're watering, we're growing. And that's being obedient to what God wants. Amen? Amen. So we need to be zealous about the truth. Now I'm going to make a statement here. All believers in Yeshua Jesus need to be zealous in keeping the full knowledge of God. And notice what I said there in my statement. The full knowledge of God. If not, their failure to do so makes others ignorant of how the righteous should conduct themselves according to the standards given by God Himself. Isn't that all about testimony? Yeah. Isn't that all about being delivered? If we walk around and we're not delivered, and we're not walking around saying, hey, I'm free in the Messiah because God's Word says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. But, oh, woe is me. Oh, I'm having a horrible time. Oh, you know, life sucks. Oh, da-da-da-da-da. Right? Or in not keeping with the full knowledge. Yeah, Jesus saves, but I can do whatever I want. You know, those people that take advantage of the grace of God, which we talked about earlier when we talked about Romans here. Yeah. So, we are to conduct ourselves in a manner that lines up with the Torah. You know, Crystal and I, in fact, I wish I would have had my camera with me because we were driving to someplace, I forget where. Probably shopping, which is why I blocked it out of my mind because I hate shopping so much. And they had this bumper sticker that was offensive on it. You know, if you're not a hemorrhoid, get off my... But that was right underneath their not of this world sticker. And I'm like, pick a side, people. It's like the people that have like the skin logos on their, you know, on their mud flaps where they got the not of this world sticker. You know, come on, you can't dance on both sides of the line. You need to be either in one side or the other. Make up your mind. If you're going to the other, you're going to the other. But don't say that you're in both because you're giving those of us who are dancing with the Lord a bad reputation because we want to be holy to the Lord. We want to be holy to the Lord. And you know, and there's a sign. You can always tell the declarers of ungodly righteousness because they are ignorant. Ignorance is a good sign. They don't know the truth of God. They don't know the truth of the Bible. You ask them, where do you fellowship at? And don't they always say the largest mega worship complex in town? I go over here. Or I go over there. Oh, you know, I've heard of that place. What's the pastor's name? Oh, I don't remember. What's the rabbi's name? Oh, I forget. So do you really go? Yeah, no, there's ignorance there. And what do? They then try to establish their own version of righteousness, and that's because they refuse to submit to God, and they refuse to submit to His plan of salvation, and they refuse to submit to the teachings of the Word of God. And because of that, what do? They build a wall. They build a wall. And notice in my wall, in fact, my wife and I were kind of talking, Father, she goes, I think it's a little bit too tall, the people can't see. And I go, well, you know, those in the front row, maybe I want them to strain a little bit so they recognize that when you put up a wall and you're trying to see, I mean, how many of you can see the Torah scroll from where you're sitting? You can't. Because the wall is... You can see the shadow of the Torah scroll. Yeah. But you know what? God's Word is not a shadow, right? We don't want to see a shadow of the Word of God. We want to see a perfect reflection of the Word of God. Perfect reflection. And we see that starting in verse 4. It says, for Messiah is the goal culmination of the Torah as far as righteousness is concerned for everyone who believes. This is one of my pet peeve verses. And I'll tell you why. It all has to do with translation. The Greek word in here for goal is telos, which means aim, goal, purpose, or ends, as in the ends justify the means, right? Or witness. But one of my biggest problems is people had a problem with the Torah when it comes to salvation because they're under the belief that the Jews had to do everything that was listed in Levitical law in order to get saved. But we've got Jesus now. We don't need to do that, so let's get rid of all of that. That's a mistranslation. The King James, the New King James, the New American Standards, they all say Christ is the end of the Torah, or Christ is the end of the law. Or the New English Bible says Christ ends the law. What? The Jerusalem Bible says, but now the law has come to an end with Christ. The Good News, or the today's English Bible says, for Christ has brought the law to an end. No! The Messiah was the full culmination of the Torah. He is the Torah. And the Torah is the same, right? Yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Hebrews tells us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And since He is the Word, that's the Word right there. It is the same yesterday. It is the same today. It is the same forever. And because of this error in translation, many have developed a righteousness that doesn't include the Old Testament. That is a block in their wall. Well, you know what? That's old. We're new. You know, those who say, yeah, we're a new covenant house of worship. Well, what about the old? Well, that's old. We did away with the old. What? Why did you do that? Well, it's all this stuff. No, it's not. There's 10 commandments, and that's about sin, right? And how we treat God and how we treat another, we worship an idol, that's a sin. That's a good one to keep, right? Well, you know, that's old. Well, you know what? If God is the same yesterday and today and forever, He's just as a jealous God back in BC as He is in AD, right? Yeah, very important to remember that. And so, with that, because of this error in translation, and like I said, this righteousness puts a wall around the Torah. You know what? These statements that working your way to heaven, that's wrong. And when you have a good translation of the Scripture, we know that salvation has always been by the grace of God. That Hebrew word is chesed. And was it Abraham's sacrifices that were credited to him as righteousness? No. Was it Abraham's circumcision that was credited to him as righteousness? No. Was it Abraham when he built the tabernacle? Trick question, right? Abraham didn't build the tabernacle, Rabbi. Yeah, you're right. That didn't take place until hundreds of years later. It had nothing to do with his salvation. And God didn't say, hey, because you have a tabernacle, you got to do all this stuff now to get saved. No. When He gave the commandments, the Ten Commandments, what did He say? I love it. It said, and I will show grace, not mercy. I will show grace to those who love me and keep my commandments, and to the generations that come after them, right? So if your Bible has mercy in the Ten Commandments, that's grace. God shows grace to those who love Him and to keep His commandments. Hey God, I love You, so I'm not going to worship any other gods. Hey God, I love You, so I'm going to love Your creation by not, you know, stealing from my brother who You've created. Right? It all comes down to love. But when we take that stuff away, we put a block around the Torah. We put another wall up around the Torah. And it's only the righteousness that is by faith, that's grounded in the Torah, it's only by that faith can someone be saved. The goal of God's righteousness is defined in the Torah, and Yeshua is the culmination of the Torah, right? He's the crown jewel of the Torah. He's the crown jewel of salvation. If not, do we look unto salvation, the author and perfecter of our faith? Well, technically, His name is Yeshua, which means salvation, right? We look under to our salvation. Who is the one who saves us? We don't look into getting saved itself, but we look unto Yeshua, Jesus. And when we get the stuff in the way, we can't see Him. When we get the stuff in the way, others can't see Him. And Yeshua is the zenith of the Torah. And our goal, because of that, should be that we should exalt the Torah and Yeshua as much as possible, whenever possible. Now, are we all going to blow it? Are we all going to make mistakes? Are we all going to zig instead of zag sometimes? Yeah, we've done that. Even the rabbi does it. What, rabbi, you don't walk on water? Nope. But I know the guy who does. Amen? And when we seek, when we don't get it right, what does he do? He reaches out his hand and he pulls us out and says, "Oh, ye little faith, I gotcha. Let me carry you along." So he pulls us out. He pulls us out. And our job is that we are to be his messengers. That's why we don't want to distort the message by putting junk up. We don't want to distort the message by putting mistranslations up. We don't want to distort the message by, you know, wearing a shirt that contradicts what our lifestyle is like. You know, sometimes when I'm encouraging people, I'm like, "Oh, you know, you need to be out. What do I need to be doing, Rabbi? You need to be telling people about the Lord." And sometimes you can use words to do it, because it should really exemplify with how we behave ourselves. And when we get the stuff in that keeps us from behaving, when we get the tapes playing in our head that, you know, we need to be delivered of, when we put the things in the wall that block us, we need to recognize those things and get them out. And that's the third leg of the synagogue as far as deliverance is concerned. So we get delivered, we start teaching a righteousness. And then what does God's word say? What is the message? What is the message? He says, "The message is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith that we proclaim." You want the message of faith? Here it is, right here. If you declare with your mouth that Yeshua is Adonai, Jesus is Lord, He is master of everything, right? And He's the master of you. And you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's the good news. But all these bricks, let's get them out of the way, right? We need to get them out of the way. And you know what? Such a simple message. It's such an easy message. And I wonder sometimes why people complicate the message when they shouldn't have to. Right? Right, yeah. So I have a question. If Yeshua can save you from eternal damnation, what else does He have the power to save you from? What else? Everything. Did you read my notes? Everything. He can save us from everything. And that's also part of what this wall represents. Because when we get stuck in the ruts of a problem, and we start playing the tapes, or the adversary starts, you know, distracting us, or he puts obstacles in our way, or he assaults us where we've got, you know, physical things that keep us from hearing clearly the Word of God. Or, you know, "Hey man, I got this pain in my back, I can't go witness today." Well, yeah, you can. So you got a pain. So you got a problem. So you got an obstacle. Who is our salvation who can deliver us from that? Yeshua, His name means salvation. And so the problem is that too many people, when they get saved, they say a prayer and allow Yeshua to save them from their sins, but they don't go the next step further in the discipleship and learn how Yeshua can save them from all the other stuff. Yeah. Do you see how we're seeing all three legs of what the synagogue is really all about here? We're seeing the leg of evangelism. We're seeing the leg of discipleship. We're seeing the leg of deliverance. Yeah. And it's important because once we confess with our mouth, then there's all that other stuff that God can deliver us from. And it's a process. And the beauty of the process is many times He allows us to go through these things, to get rid of these things, so when we find others who are trapped by the same things, we can help them as well and thus bolster their faith so that they can be delivered, so that they can, you know, get saved, you know, be discipled, be delivered. So when they're released from that burden and then they see somebody else going through this, through a problem, they can say, hey, let's start with salvation. Let's do discipleship. Do you see how it's an ongoing process? You know, one statistic that amazed me, and I really would love to see this in action. The statistic says that if everyone in this room today seeks out one person this year to lead to the Messiah, to have a front row seat, to see them confess with their mouth that Yeshua is Adonai and believe in their heart, and takes them through the discipleship process and helps them be delivered. And then the next year, because we'll be doubled in size, right? The next year, that group chooses to do the same thing. Lead one person to the Lord and disciple them and thoroughly equip them. See them delivered. So the next year, we're four times the size now. Then the next year, we're eight times the size. And the next year, we're, you know, 16 times the size. Then 32 times the size. And it gets exponentially, it just starts to take off. Do you realize in 33 years, if everyone who believes disciples someone who becomes a new believer, who disciples someone who becomes a new believer, for 33 years straight, the entire world would be saved. Wow! But why isn't that happening? Oh, we got this wall in front of us! Yeah! So with that, now the challenge, first and foremost, I always ask when I teach about this, has your heart been justified before God because of your faith in Yeshua Jesus? That should be the first thing that crosses our mind spiritually. And you know, if you've jumped into the Torah and the Tanakh and being zealous for religion's sake, it is nothing unless you have faith in Yeshua Jesus. That's the first step. And of course, the second one, have you made that declaration of faith in Yeshua Jesus for your salvation? It's not just, oh yeah, well I believe that Jesus is God. No, you got to declare it with your mouth. Why? Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. You need to declare the life over you. And with that, you know, we've got an object lesson here. I think this is a great little object lesson. Because I have to ask, what do you need to be saved from? What is keeping you from seeing the Torah? What is keeping you from living the Torah? Do you have an offense? Does, you know, something going on? Did somebody speak words of death over you? Or is there something sinful that you like to hang on to? Yeah. It's important that we think about these things. You know, what is it in your past or present that you're not allowing Yeshua to save you from? Is there anything there? Or what changes in the Torah have you made? Oh, I don't like that verse, so I'm just going to change it a little bit more so I feel better about that. That's building up the wall, is it not? Yeah. Or what bricks have you put that are forming this stronghold around the Word of God? And as I read the Word of God, as I read the Torah, and if you look at the last part of Devarim, you look at the last part of the Torah, we see two things. Moses' last words talk about two things. Blessings and curses, right? If you're obedient to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart. It's interesting that Moses puts that in there. Not just to love God, but to serve God. And to keep the Torah, then you have blessings. But if you're refusing to do that, then you've built a wall around the Torah. God can't help you. God won't bless you. Right? Right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask if Brother David here, he's got little slips of paper. And what he's going to do is he's just going to go around the room. And he's going to give everyone a slip of paper. Now, if you need to have some separation, like you don't want, you know, you got some private things you want to write down, or you might think that the person next to you might have some private things to write down, why don't we just separate just a little bit if you're snuggled up next to somebody? Yeah, Rabbi, go sit in the back or in the corner or something. Baruch Hashem. Then what I want you to do here is I want you to write down your struggles. I want you to write down maybe your Torah misinterpretations. These things. Things that you need to be saved from. So let's just take a moment and write those down.